You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
TMZ, oh my goodness.
I'll let Bobby Warsaw tell me how I did it.
I think he's the philosopher of football.
I'd like to have some more derbies.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I like it. I liked it a lot.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental from the AT&T MLS Studios in Midtown Manhattan. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Kalen Carr, Matt Doyle, David Goss, somewhere in the air on his way back.
Somewhere on the beach, man.
No, he's coming back.
Is he?
Yeah, his Landon Donovan days are over. He is on his way back. He's rejoining the squad.
Where'd he go?
He went to Vietnam. Yeah, Vietnam, wow. Singapore. He bounced all around.
Jeez.
I think I saw some pictures of him playing pickup somewhere. can't remember where I saw those, but he'll be back with stories. I'm sure we got a big
going
show.
To a winery in Vietnam.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, no.
I got to ask him about that. Yeah, that intrigues me.
Mm-hmm. It's the off season, so we can go anywhere we want to go. We can talk about anything we want. We could talk about the fact that we couldn't speak into reality. Marcelo Gallardo to Inter Miami. Maybe, maybe not. We will talk about that. We'll talk about conference alignment because Nashville are going to the West. Inter Miami are going to the East in 2020. Two new teams coming in, of course. Then there's expansion after that, so it gets a little bit messy.
Geography?
Yeah, I used to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to be. But
you have
then,
any thoughts on that?
I don't because, geography or the conference alignment?
I mean, I have plenty
of thoughts on the conference alignment. My geography thoughts are a little rusty on those. 2222 happens this week. There are a bunch of rumors coming from Liga MX during Liguilla, which is insane. All upsets in the quarterfinals, and we have mail as well. Kalen, you'll be happy to know you were dapped up in the mail regarding Paul Pogba. So that's coming. But, I heard a rumor that you didn't have Thanksgiving. You left. You got on a plane. You went to California. You went to visit family and nary a piece of turkey, a dollop of mashed potatoes, scoop of cranberry sauce. You didn't have any of it.
My family abandoned me. It's worse than that. They left me at home. I was sick. I started feeling it before I left. I was sick. I get there. My family's like, oh, you're not feeling well? We always go to a friend's Hawaii. It's a Hawaiian Thanksgiving. It's like a Hawaiian family. And everybody went and had a good time and brought nothing back for me.
No, you didn't even get a plate.
They brought a plate, I would say, but then
mediocre makeup of that plate is what you're
It was
implying.
A good spread, but I had no appetite, and by the time I was ready, it was gone.
So, Kalen got in at 3 a.m. We're hoping to get some vintage Kalen Carr. You, meanwhile, were just haranguing young people playing FIFA. What does it say about the next generation?
My little cousins and my nephew, they played soft. I thought they were... not entirely committed. And after half a bottle of Sambuca, I let them know about it.
Second balls?
Yeah, about winning the second
ball.
Yeah, and quick transitions, right?
Gotcha.
Like they weren't playing modern soccer, and you have to be a realist. You have to understand when the opposing defense is disorganized, that is your best time to attack.
I just saw a fast forward, by the way, to Doyle to 2024, and he was an EMLS analyst.
Amen.
It's going to happen.
That's where the growth is.
Yeah, he's basically just channeling Club and Country post U.S. men's national team games. Win the second ball. What are you doing? The system can't sustain you forever. This is the international.
Let's toss to Matt at the board.
That's a reality that maybe.
So, no, but now I have to learn how to play FIFA between now and Christmas because I'm doing Christmas up in Connecticut as well. So, I'm going to see my nephew and all my cousins again. And I was, I said, all right, in 4 weeks, I'm going to play you guys and I'm going to smoke y'all because you're soft. So now I got a bunch of 10-year-olds coming for me.
They should do a 22 under 22 for FIFA players, but actual MLS players
gotcha.
Now. But under 22.
I'm entirely confused.
Under
about
22, that's where all the kids are playing FIFA.
I think it's more
got
like
quicker hands.
I think it's more like under 15. You hit 16, 17, 18, 19,
then.
You're done.
Really?
That's what they say. You're done. Mm. All right, let's talk soccer. Mario Balotelli Sorry. He might come, maybe
out
of free.
Come true.
The Brescia owner, who we've discussed and has had some interesting things to say, says he could leave on a free in January. So MLS teams, get in a line, make sure he comes, give us all the hashtag content to talk about on Extra Time. We'll try to speak that one into reality. As I said, we could not speak Marcelo Gallardo into reality. Reports coming out that he was not going to join Inter Miami, that there was a big offer on the table, lots of money. You would expect that, but he will stay with River Plate.
Do you feel a little foolish about you guys, like, legit celebrated?
Mm-hmm.
It was I felt the joy from you too.
I had some regrets as we were doing it, and I had notes that said, like, hey, put a caveat in that maybe this won't happen, but
we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
I didn't feel emotionally, I didn't.
No.
Maybe logically.
You never caveat your emotions.
You took the bait.
Emotionally, I was in.
Ma said, we've got it. And you guys, literally, I saw you, both of you erupt with just glee. Just pure joy.
So here's a question. Do we think Moss was wrong? Do we think he was fibbing? Or do we think he was telling the absolute truth and it just hasn't come out yet who they had?
You think Jorge Moss was writing that expansion draft?
No. I want to hear Kalen's answer to this.
Yeah, I think you hit it. I think he was a little hyped up on the expansion draft. It's easy. It's understandable.
Just getting carried away.
You make a couple picks. You're like, we got a coach. He's signed.
But it's not just we had a coach. It's we have a coach who's been helping us.
Yes, build. Correct. So, that is what he said. It wasn't just like, oh, out in the ether, a coach will appear. You know, the next challenger will walk through the smoke.
We're not waiting for.
We're in communication. You know.
Okay, then why
Emery to get fired?
Right.
Yeah. So why wouldn't you announce it? You think you're just sitting on it?
Because whoever it is still managing. Mm-hmm. And so the number one contestant at this point, according to Taylor Twellman, is Patrick Vieira. Though Patrick Vieira, I think he's on a warm seat, if not outright hot, in Nice. But that season is ongoing. He has been there for a year and a half now. He is not, as far as I know, imminently going to get fired. And he's not, like, he's been open about wanting to stay in Europe. That feels like if he is dismissed, okay, he's an obvious hire for any MLS team. But it's a huge if. And it's also like he's not in a position where he's like, I know my season is done at this point, so let me start helping on this Inter Miami project. What I will say about Marcelo Gallardo, who has said, I'm not done, I want to stay in River Plate. We've heard people say this before. He has two more games left. He has a game against San Lorenzo this coming Sunday, and then he has a Copa Argentina game a week after that against a lower division team, and then they're off for like a month and a half. His last game is December 13th. He knew that months and months ago, and if they had made Club World Cup, this would have aligned with him saying, okay, I had these last couple of games, and then I'll take over the project at Miami. So I'm not yet convinced that Marcelo Gallardo is not going to be the head coach of Inter Miami. Maybe I'll look completely stupid in 3 weeks or less. But I just in terms of how this whole thing has operated, having Gallardo with that hard deadline of mid-December makes a lot more sense than, like, oh, we're just waiting for Patrick Vieira. Yeah, like that.
And when is the end point where Patrick Vieira? Because you're looking at the table in France. They are in 12th. That's not where they want to be. But it's 20 points, and third place has 24 points.
Yeah, they're four points out of a Champions League spot.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, my God, his season's over. Nice is just going to completely pull the plug. It's not working. Patrick Vieira out. He could sit back in the cut and be like, psst, take Lee Wynn.
Yeah.
Get that guy.
Yeah. He wouldn't be doing that.
That's bizarre.
Whereas Gallardo, by having this hard endpoint, and granted, it is still in the middle of the Argentinian Super League season, but we see coaches leave at the midway point of that season all the time. So I still think it's more likely that it ends up being Gallardo than Vieira.
What do you think?
Still plenty of time. Still plenty of time with December. But I would say once you start getting further and further past the holidays and you get going towards preseason, it's okay. I understand that the idea MLS has changed a lot where the manager isn't making every decision, but you do want to allow them to have their footprint on at least where are we going for preseason? Who are we playing?
But that's what's happening. Jorge Mas and Paul McDonough have said, Yeah, we have our manager. He has a say in all these moves. You think whoever that manager is isn't having a say in where this team trains in preseason?
I'm not convinced that they have a manager right now. That it's okay. Just somebody waiting.
So that's
in
what
the
I was waiting for you to, yeah. to give yeah. an answer. So yeah. you think that Jorge Mas got out over his skis a little bit and said something that's not entirely true, and now they're waiting for hopefully Patrick Vieira gets fired?
Well, let's see. Inter Miami, has everything they've said come to fruition right away in the timeline that they've said it?
Certainly not.
It's complicated, right? And so these things can add a little bit of time, or the last bit of a contract where you think you have a guy falls apart. It yeah. happens with players. It happens with managers, especially when you're dealing with the profile of signings that they're looking to.
Right.
Yeah, so. Maybe it changed. Maybe it looked like it was going to happen, and then internal whatever, let's say it's with Gallardo at River Plate, changed. Like the politics there changed, and he says, oh, okay, actually now it's different. I need to stay.
Or the coach hears that, yeah. the manager hears that, and the agent says, oh, yeah. well, the price just went up.
Right. Or they're like, hey, why you don't say out loud that the coach is helping you. Like,
yeah,
walk that back. Get back from that. I don't know. It makes more sense to me logistically that Gallardo would still be the guy than it does that Vieira would get out in the middle of this. And then after that, what is it? It's like, what, Scolari was the other one?
Solari, yeah.
Solari?
Santiago Solari, the manager.
Former Real Madrid.
For 15 minutes. And he was really well-regarded in their youth setup. If it's not those guys, the guy I keep bringing up, again, Argentinian, is Eduardo Cude, who won the league with Racing a couple of years ago. He's top five again. This year, he's just an excellent manager. Or maybe they're like, oh, we can't land any of those guys, and they stay somewhere within MLS. Domi Torrent is out there. Domi Torrent looks like a pretty good manager in this league after a year and a half. So I will say this. If it was anybody but Paul McDonough as the sporting director of this team, we would be treating it like a five-alarm fire. But because McDonough's been through this, he's built two expansion teams in the last 5 years. Okay. I trust it.
They got Tata Martino did Atlanta United. In September before their expansion
yeah.
season. So he had a runway. He had time. He was out and about and saying, okay, I'm going to go visit players. I'm going to talk to players. I'm going to help get Almiron over the line. I'm going to help get Villalba. They may not have that publicly right now. Maybe it is privately. Who knows?
They've got somebody who can make that phone call, though.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. David. Yes. I'll stop right yeah. there. But by the way, is it a five-alarm fire for the fire? Because they don't have a technical director or a sporting director or a GM or a head coach.
Any DPs.
Or DPs or a squad. They're moving downtown. Like, is it panic time for them? Like, at least Inter Miami can be like, look, we're doing this from scratch, man. We've not done this before. We're an expansion team. Like, we've got different mechanisms. It'll come in. We got a lot of TAM. We got a lot of cap space. We got openings. We got Paul McDonough. Nelson Rodriguez says he's backing out a little bit. But he has to hire those guys.
Every time I see one of these rumors, like Pulido or any of these other players that come out and are rumored to come to MLS, I always think, Chicago. <It's got to laughs> You're just waiting for that one to hit. And I really think they do have, I mean, to your point, they do have more. I understand they've jettisoned pretty much a lot of their team, but they do have more of a functional base than Inter Miami does.
And they better.
Well, yeah,
right?
But I
actually strongly disagree with that, but continue.
Okay, well, go ahead. That's what the show's about, right?
No, that's mass confrontation.
That might be dead.
Yeah. Well, why do you? So you're saying what, that they've just gotten rid of everything?
Chicago didn't even have defenders last year, and they got rid of most of those guys. So they have a clean cap. They do have Bornstein, who was pretty good, but he's 35. They have Frankowski, who was pretty good. Not great, but he's pretty good. But Georgie's not a starter. Brett Bronico was okay. CJ had a good year, but he's into his 30s now. Like, they don't have the guys who were the difference makers over the last few years. Whereas if you look at Inter Miami's roster, like, granted, they don't have a ton. But, like, Victor Ulloa is pretty good. Ben Sweat's pretty good. The Carranza and Pellegrini are both like really highly regarded young players. Lee Wynn, we know what he can do in this league when he's playing as a number 10.
They have rumors at least.
Yeah.
Chicago Fire don't even have,
rumors.
There's been nothing about head coaching, about GM, about maybe that's good. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe Nelson Rodriguez is keeping this.
I like Victor Ulloa, but the fact that he was the first name that came to mind on the roster.
I'm glad you.
I
said
always
that.
Start in central midfield.
I mean, look, CJ Sapong, I think is, what did he score? 14 goals last year. Georgi Mihailovic, to me, is a starter in MLS.
You take Georgi Mihailovic over Lee Wynn?
Absolutely. Just based on age, that alone, absolutely. Yeah, I think they've got. I think they have more pieces than they have to build out the roster. And part of the good thing is that they did clean house, so they can start from scratch. But they need a big signing.
Yeah, and that's also the concern, though, is that right? They have to start from scratch without the GM or the sporting director. So it's Nelson.
It seems like they're starting from scratch on that.
Yeah, I know. We'll see. We'll see. Orlando doesn't have a head coach. It's not like Chicago's alone here. Orlando doesn't have one. RSL haven't announced that they're doing whatever they're going to do with Freddy Juarez and
which will be Elliot Fall.
Yeah, that's what's been reported. NYCFC doesn't have a coach.
Yep.
So it's not like
Chicago's
alone. And
there's reporting today from The Athletic that Gio Van Bronckhorst, who was for a long time rumored to be the guy replacing Dome Tourant, is maybe on the radar for Arsenal. And he was in the
Who'd
box.
Have thought? Who'd have thought Emery's, the trickle down from Unai Emery would come straight to Major League Soccer?
It's something, man. But the clock is ticking on all these teams. I will say, Oscar Pereja is going to end up coaching one of them. I'm pretty sure that I would wager a lot of money it'll be Orlando City, but it's not exactly clear yet for any of these five teams.
What is clear right now is the conference alignment in Major League Soccer in 2020. Chicago Fire, they are, I believe, the westernmost team in the East, but now it will be Nashville that's the easternmost team in the West. They are starting their MLS life in the Western Conference, while Miami obviously are in the Eastern Conference. The announcement is that 13 teams on both sides, East and West. That makes sense. Try to keep it even there. The schedule will look like this, 34 games. We know how that works, 17 home, 17 away. That's basic. You know how that goes. Now, for the first time ever, I believe, teams are not going to play every other team in MLS. So there will be three teams that you do not play across conference lines because it's 12 home and away, 24 matches, and then 10 to get up to 34. How should Nashville feel about this, being in the Western Conference? And if you look at the expansion teams, Austin, 27th in 2021, they would stay in the West. Mm-hmm. Sacramento Republic, St. Louis, 28, 29, and 2022, you would think they would go into the West, so maybe then is the time for Nashville to come back across. But they're looking at a couple years in the Western Conference. It's kind of weird. And you see this in the reaction on Twitter because we all kind of assumed, myself included, that it would be Nashville playing Orlando and Nashville playing Atlanta and Nashville playing Inter Miami and getting two games a year home and away, easy travel to build those rivalries. But it didn't happen that way.
Well, welcome to the club. That's how it goes. I won the Eastern Conference. I played in the Western Conference in the same city. That's just the way it goes. And as the league grows, expansion happens, these things change. So that one game against Atlanta that they've already announced, that's going to be a big one.
Right. Ratchet, I forgot you were one of those.
Oh, yeah.
You're the back and forths.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Houston Dynamo, where you were at,
and
you're in. Sporting KC went back and forth, didn't
they? Yeah.
Wow.
I think Chicago could be a team. I mean, I think that was the other thing that could have made sense. The weird part for me is Chicago just feels like such an Eastern Conference city. Just when you think of basketball or you think, I don't know, it just feels the East. I played in the East so long with them. I didn't do the back and forth with them.
Does it make more sense to put Chicago in the
because
West?
Because then you have
Minnesota,
Kansas
City,
yep.
Eventually St. Louis.
Yeah. I mean, that's I thought it would have been Chicago in the Western Conference. Just right off the bat because of that. Like, they have proximity to St. Paul. They have proximity to KC. They'll have, you know, obviously proximity to St. Louis when they come in a couple of years as well. And
moving downtown, rebrand. It seemed like a good time to just...
But maybe that's part of it. Maybe part of moving downtown and rebrand is like, guys, keep us in the East. Our biggest rivals over the past 20 years are all Eastern Conference teams. And... you know, maybe 2-3 years down the road, we'll move.
Yeah, but those are changing.
I'm not the history is everything guy. It means something. But, like, right now, and we're, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on ETR of quote-unquote manufacturing rivalries when people talk about this stuff. But who's Chicago's rival in the East? Who's, like, a real – people get up for this. Their fan base gets up for this. The opposing fan base gets up for it.
Columbus, but –
But does it have –
It doesn't have the same cachet. It like there was a time in the middle of the aughts where like Chicago played New England every single year.
Yeah, no, that's the one I think of.
Yeah, but that because of
that's a decade ago.
Because of proximity, it didn't really grow, right?
Yeah, and also when I was there, FC Dallas was also a rival with the Brimstone Cup, and that was a big thing actually. But that could also be reborn too.
Yeah.
All these rivalries are fluid. But a lot of the
as we've seen from Atlanta versus the Red Bulls, which is like that's just a rivalry of those two teams being really good and hating each other for three straight, which is like the best fuel for any rivalry. The Fire need to find that with someone, whether it's an Eastern Conference or Western Conference.
But proximity, the part of the big expansion shift is that now there are teams that are so much closer, and proximity does make a big difference as far as how these rivalries manifest themselves. So I think that would have made a little bit more sense is to move them to the West.
I don't know. We'll see what happens here. It might change.
St. Louis, Chicago, that is going to be a rivalry. That's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Let's talk Supporters Shield. I know you're a truther. I know you're a little bit on the farther other side of that spectrum, Kaylin.
I'm probably
right in the middle where I'm like, oh, I like the Supporters Shield. That's not everything. MLS Cup is the deal. You no longer play everybody. It wasn't balanced before the schedule. Does this hurt the Supporters Shield? Is there any blow? Is there any lack of prestige? Is there any sort of like loss when it comes to this trophy, this front, what the Shield means to teams, what it means to supporters, what it means in the media landscape? Like, does this hurt the Supporters Shield at all?
I mean, I'm sure for some people it does, but it doesn't for me. If you're the best team over 6-7 months, then you earned that trophy. And it doesn't matter. I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but it's not determinative whether or not you miss on playing three teams from the other conference. I love this in the NBA as well. I still remember those 15-16 Warriors who won 73 games. Everybody talks about, you know, the best basketball team of all times. So they don't talk about the 93 Bulls or the 92 Bulls. They talk about the 96 Bulls because the 96 Bulls are the ones that won the title and won 72 games. Like the 27 Yankees, they had, I think, the highest winning percentage in Major League Baseball history. It's great that we have both. It is fantastic that we have the Supporters Shield, and it's fantastic that we have the playoffs. And if you want to be one of the best teams in MLS history, win both.
I don't think it affects it personally because it was already unbalanced. Now, you'll have people yell about, oh, you didn't have to play, whatever, wooden spoon.
It's the same for the playoffs, man. But everybody acts like the playoffs are balanced. Come on.
But ultimately, we've seen point totals be ripped to shreds, records. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, right now, to me, the Supporters Shield is just another coronation every year. It's, oh, you at least are in the conversation for the best regular season team.
Are you willing to give a guarantee? Will the points record be broken next year?
No, it will not be.
Broken. You're guaranteeing that.
I'm guaranteeing that right
first
now.
First guarantee of a new decade.
Just pure gut.
Andrew Weeby.
I have literally no logic or anything else behind that. No proof, no nothing.
Okay.
Do you care about the Shield less? Do you think it will affect the way people think about it?
Absolutely.
Really?
Because think about it this way. Let's say LAFC and FC Dallas go down to the wire for the Supporters Shield next year. And LAFC didn't have to play Atlanta, didn't have to play NYCFC.
Maybe that'll be worse for him next year. Anyway, continue.
And let's say FC Dallas did, and they took L's in those games, and it comes down to 2 points, 3 points, 1 point.
Is that worse?
How can you not factor that in?
Or is it better for the Shield because then people talk about it? Because then people, FC Dallas is out here screaming, you guys got lucky. Like, is it sort of like the is good news sort of thing?
For the content, for ETR, it's probably good banter. But I think for the overall sort of value of this trophy and it being representative of what it's supposed to, I think it has to say it's taken a bit of a hit.
All right, let us know what you think. 401-206-0MLS, 2222 going down this week. We have 11 through 22. Those are the rankings revealed on Tuesday on Twitter. And then on Wednesday, the live show, the reveal show for the top 10 goes down at 2 p.m. Eastern, streamed everywhere that your normal things stream on MLS. At MLS on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, I believe, MLSsoccer.com, the MLS app. The rankings had 19 voters this year. We had anonymous technical staffers vote on this, a couple current MLS players, two of those, 7 members of the MLS digital team, of course, Doyle included in that one, and then the MLS player department contributed 3 votes, and we will find out who the top 10 are. I know who the first 5 off the lids are. I know who the snubs are. Austin Trusty was a snub this year. Did not make the top 2,222, and he just got traded for a boatload of allocation money. Diego Palacios, a standout for Ecuador in the U20 World Cup, didn't get on that list probably because he hasn't played very much for LAFC yet. Frankie Amaya, the number 1 pick in the Super Draft last year, not on the list. Ricardo Pepi, probably the most hyped sort of like young teenage prospect that hasn't really pushed into the MLS team yet for FC Dallas, not on the list. and Abubakar Keita not on the list for the Crew, and he stepped into the starting lineup a bunch down the stretch.
Yeah,
Trusty was 10th last year. He was.
Yeah, that's a big drop.
Yeah,
and he started a ton of games. He did lose his starting spot. Do any of these surprise you? What do they say to you? The fact that we have players of this caliber not in the top 22.
That you can make mistakes, that this list is imperfect.
Mm.
Atuesta, I'm also looking at, was ranked 16th on the 22 under 22.
Yes.
Behind Andre Horta.
Oh.
Yes. So, that's what predicting young players are. It's very difficult. It's volatile. It changes year to year. You can be on the list. You can be off the list. I mean, you can be number one on the list.
Milton Valenzuela would have been top three this year, but he got injured and missed the whole season. So he didn't even make the list as well. So it's tough. Like, a lot of things can happen with Austin Trusty. He lost his job. He didn't make any sort of progress year over year in the first place. Then he took a big step back in kind of early midsummer, and he lost his job because of it. They still sold him for $800,000, I think, in allocation money, and I know that,
and so on.
Yeah, and I know that Colorado's really high on him, so he'll get his chance next year. But this is what has to happen in MLS. Like, we have to produce our own players, and if they don't produce when they get their chance on the field, gone. Shipped off either to, you know, another team in the league or another league or even down, because that's the way the soccer business runs. And Austin Trusty's part of that.
Well, the progress for me, too, part is that he wasn't just replaced by a veteran central defender where they weren't just like, oh, you know what, young player, a little volatile here and there, up and down. He's being replaced by Mark McKenzie on the list, essentially, because he was 21 on the list last year. I'd expect him to be much higher.
You would think he's in the 22 under 22 for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trusty missed, he's in.
So he steps up and he takes a bigger chunk in people's perception as well. And then Trusty, they are able to use him as value to go on.
Yeah, there's not a spot for him now.
Yep.
He got beat out. Yep. So, realize the value. Ernst Tanner's been doing a lot of that this offseason. And now Colorado Rapids get a player they're excited about. Maybe they can realize that value. Maybe they can sell him on down the line. And we know MLS wants to do that. Sell more players. We asked for fan vote out there.
Let me just interrupt, actually, because Palacios is arguably the more interesting one. Because, as you said, he was one of the best left backs at the U20 World Cup for that Ecuador team.
Yeah, Barcelona was reportedly interested.
He was one of, if not the very best young left back in the Eredivisie last year, playing for FC Twente, in that Dutch top flight, playing against the likes of Ajax and PSV and Feyenoord. And as Wiebe was just saying, Barcelona were interested. He just didn't have the requisite work permit, I think it was, to sign for them. So for him to...
It was Willem II, by the way.
It was Willem II, I said 20, So for LAFC to get a player like that, and first of all, he doesn't immediately walk into the lineup. Second of all, when he does get his chance, he blows it because he broke an offside trap and he cost them points down the stretch. And third, the voters aren't automatically overwhelmed by his credentials to just put him into the top 15 or top 10, as happened with Andre Horta last year. I think it says something about the level of talent that we're seeing in this league now at all ages, but especially with young players.
So that's where you look at a Frankie Amaya too.
Yeah.
These guys that are snubbed, it's on LAFC, FC Cincinnati, Colorado Rapids, FC Dallas in Pepe's instance, or Columbus Crew, to get the most out of these players. Now, the fans voted on this, and that was included in the vote, I believe. Barco was their number one. Rossi was number two.
If there's a fan vote, and Atlanta's involved.
Yeah, Barco won it. Uh-huh. Reggie Cannon finished ahead of Paxton Pomykal, and we had Eric Erickson hit us up and say that Reggie is the best FC Dallas player under 22. Who would be your number one? Who was your number one? You got a vote. Doyle?
I voted for Rossi. I don't think he has the highest upside. I actually think that just if you look at LAFC, Brian Rodriguez has a higher upside and plays literally the same position. But Rossi had 16 goals and 8 assists, something like that. Like, he was a top 5 goal scorer in the league. He was, I think, the highest, other than Vela, he was the highest scoring winger in the league. He is going to be sold for probably $10 million this offseason. There are other players I like more, and there are other players who, if you gave me the chance to start a team with out of this list, I think I would choose them over Rossi. But Rossi, like, you cannot argue with his production, and you cannot argue with, like, his fit is so snug for a good team in this league, or I think in a top five league in Europe, that he absolutely earned that number one spot.
This list for me is not really about earning it. I don't think it's really ever been about performance necessarily, because also if you look at last year, it's Alphonso Davies over Tyler Adams. I'm pretty sure Tyler Adams earned the number one spot over Alphonso Davies.
Davies had 8 goals and 12 assists.
But let's talk about
$20 million move to Bayern Munich.
I understand that. That's why he's number one, though. It's not because of his performance in MLS.
His performance was really good.
As good as Tyler Adams? He was as good an MLS player as Tyler Adams.
Yeah.
Absolutely no chance.
He had 8 goals and 12 assists as a 17-year-old.
He was certainly dominant at times, and he was spellbinding, and he was explosive. And as an attacking player, there was not a better young
Tyler Adams was the best player on the best team.
I'm with Kaylin on
this. In MLS, and like carried that team through playoffs.
But you just said that performance doesn't have anything to do with it.
That's exactly my point. That's exactly my point. And that's why I would not take Rossi as number one. For me, it's Brian Rodriguez. I think he's a better player than Rossi overall.
But it is Uruguay.
Yeah. So basically, I think if you look at the list of names that are available, he hasn't been in MLS very long. He hasn't quite acclimated. We haven't seen the best of him yet. But when you look, I think, back on this list a couple years from now, Brian Rodriguez will be the clear number one.
It's interesting, though, to speak about these two players in LAFC and have two LAFC players be the ones that you guys drop, because it really does match up with what they're trying to do, which is bring in upper teen, 20-year-old, young, sellable players that can move on down the line. And that ultimately is what this list should probably be about.
If it was 23 under 23, would Atuesta be number one?
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
What does this list this year say to you, Doyle? And we will reveal it on Thursday, and of course the live show will be Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. But I listened to Scuffed, you and Adam Bells, talking about the year that was for young players in Major League Soccer, and you talked for a long time, and I had it on in the car while my wife was running errands, and she's like, turn it off. I'm done with this. That's fair. You know, that's fair. You've endured a lot of soccer from me this year. What does this year's list, what does 2019 say to you about what we've done with young players, we being MLS,
right,
and where we're going?
Well, again, the fact that teams are bringing in guys like Palacios and Brian Rodriguez, who were stars at the U-20 World Cup, who had interest from some of the biggest teams in the world. They're choosing to play in MLS. The fact that guys like Barco and Tati Castellanos, who was badly underrepresented on the fan vote, by the way, have played their way into the Argentinian U-23s. The fact that so many of the U.S. U-20 players who played so well at the U-20 World Cup back in May and June. It would have been possible to do this if it was still 24 under 24, because there are so many good young players who are on that upward curve compared to just a couple of years ago. And you also see it in the numbers. The numbers I pulled for that podcast were just strictly domestic minutes and goals and assists. And in 2018... domestic players, so Americans and Canadians, played about 47,000 minutes. I think it was 46 goals, 48 assists. In 2019, they played just shy of 70,000 minutes, 82 goals, 65 assists, something like that. And when I'm saying guys who are 22 and under, a 50% increase in minutes year over year for young players, almost a 50%, or I think exactly a 50% increase in goals, like a 30% increase in assists. More good players are coming through the system. More coaches here are willing to take chances on them. And then when those players are getting chances, like, say, a Brendan Aaronson, they're earning it.
You've always had some thoughts about young players in this league. How do we get the most out of them? How does this list take the next jump? Do you have to turn it down to 20 and say, actually, we need to see your production, your potential, all that coalesce earlier?
No, I mean, I think just doing the list is a good thing to do in a lot of ways. And the big shift for me has been the idea that young players are looked as valuable, or like assets, and turning them into big money transfers. If you look, again, I keep going back to this last list, these players are being sold for real money, being sold across to Europe or to other places as well. I think we'll probably see I think eventually we'll probably also see not just a path to Europe, but more to Central and South America as well. And then also even within MLS, Philadelphia Union have been able to turn these assets either potentially something abroad, but also within
domestically.
MLS. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I just think also the other thing is there's a pressure to play young players, which just blows my mind still. Because when I before, the attitude culturally was always, you have to earn it. And now I go and I talk to Luchy Gonzalez, and he's like, I'm like, how do you know when a guy is ready to play? And he's like, you don't know. That's how you find out, is by giving them an opportunity and give them a chance. And that is like still mind-blowing to me, because as a young player in MLS, the attitude was like, you earn it, you have to suffer, you're always going to get chosen for somebody else. And now there's actually pressure on managers from the media, from fan bases, and from the front offices, from ownership, to play young players and develop it. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do it. And I think it has helped the league. Like, you compare MLS to 5 years ago, the games are so much better now. And it's not just the high-end DP and TAM spending. It's the veterans who are holding on to the jobs. They're not playing entitled anymore. There was nothing more entitled than a veteran who knew that he wasn't going to lose his job, so he could just, you know, C-plus effort for 25 games a year and then turn it on down the stretch. That loses you your spot now.
I thought it was interesting what Paul Tenorio and Sam Stachel did at The Athletic, and we all know that the CBA negotiations are ongoing and they loom over literally everything as it pertains to player acquisition and the changes that we'll see this offseason. Jeff Carlisle had a good thing at ESPN. You can go read for sort of the lay of the land as it pertains to the CBA right now. But they had some suggested rule changes, and I thought some were interesting, especially in relation to 2022 and homegrown players. And one of them was that homegrown players would not count toward the salary budget for as long as they remain with their initial club, and that teams could sign as many homegrowns as they wanted. I'd love to see this. I would love to see teams rewarded for graduating players from their academy. So, look, that investment that you're making that people always talk about, $2-3 million a year, it gets realized. You get real benefit as it pertains to your competitiveness as a first team. And then the other change they suggested was that teams would retain 100% of the transfer or loan fee obtained. So you don't have to be like, oh, we have to give a 30% cut to MLS on this one. Is it really worth us selling that player? Like, it should be a cycle. There should be a cycle of players moving, of realizing value before value drops, of pushing in the next player. I would love to see the CBA have some little safeguards like this that say, yes, continue down this path. Play young players. Realize the value of young players. Make young players just as important, maybe not just as, but on an equal playing field as what TAM has been for the last three and a half years in building your teams and progressing the league and changing the way MLS is looked at internationally. Because I think that's one of the things that people should be looking at when you judge not just MLS, but any league. Do they develop talent?
Yeah.
And what happens to that talent? And that doesn't mean that talent is going to be academy to all-star. It might mean that that talent is academy to Brendan Aaronson to, I don't know, Werder Bremen, let's just say. And then the MLS gospel gets spread. Oh, damn, Brandon Anderson's a pretty good player. We saw it in MLS. We saw it in the Bundesliga. It translates. Probably there's others that will translate. Create a massive pool of young players that we developed and push them wherever you got to do it and reinvest the money.
I'm fine with that. I don't want to get too far into it, but I don't think every team needs to do that.
I'm fine with that too.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be the plan for every team to be FC Dallas. Somebody else can just do it another way.
Yeah, for sure. Who are the teams you think would not do it that way? Because the LA Galaxy are trying to realize it, and they've historically been that team. Chicago Fire have a bunch of homegrown players that they could potentially sign. Mauricio Pineda being probably the biggest from UNC, but they've had issues signing their homegrowns in the past. NYCFC's all in on that. Red Bulls are all in on that. I'm trying to think of the big market teams that in the past would have just been like, not really our deal. LAFC, all in on that. Seattle Sounders, all in on it. Like, I'm trying to think of who isn't actively taking that approach. Because I think these GMs, at least the smart ones, are sitting back thinking, this is a way to fund our team in the future. This is a way to go to ownership and say, oh, I do need $6 million for a player, and by the way, I'll bring money back in. I don't know. Is it possible in this age of MLS, Atlanta's doing it, trying to do it at least, to be the team that says, meh, I don't think development or homegrowns or our academy makes sense for our bottom line. Can anybody do it?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I'm like thinking through it right now. Yeah. I'm just trying to, I don't know. Came off about 7 days and not thinking about MLS and just mulling things over.
Kind of brain dumped it all right there.
Yeah,
let me just say that I like a lot of about Paul and Sam's proposal, especially with regard to homegrown players. But I do think the way they set it up is there are two designations, regular player, homegrown player. Once you're traded or signed elsewhere as a homegrown player, you lose that designation and you have to go onto the regular roster. Mm-hmm. I would say that like adding that would sort of limit the internal marketplace. Not devastatingly so, but I think anything that encourages, incentivizes teams to build and monetize their own talent, as Philadelphia did with Austin Trusty, as we've seen Dallas do multiple times over the past couple of years, I think is bad. So, like, remove that hurdle. If you trade a player with, again, this is Sam and we're, yeah, we're talking fan fiction. Like, if you trade the player on a homegrown designation, then he would keep that homegrown designation. But if they sign as a free agent elsewhere, then you can remove it.
Okay. Let us know what you think. It's an interesting article. The Athletic, this is going to loom over everything for a long time. Some moves that did happen in MLS while we were gone, taking a break for Thanksgiving. Mikey Ambrose chosen in the expansion draft, I believe, for the third time. Is that right?
Second time. Because he was drafted in the super draft by Paul McDonough at Orlando City and then drafted in the expansion draft.
He was Orlando City. He was at Austin Aztecs before that. I think he was like a Discovery signing. I don't know. That's too deep in the MLS weeds for us, I think, on this show. Eric Miller went to Nashville SC, so they are accumulating MLS experience. Richard Sanchez back up to Sporting KC. Peter Vermees says that they will have a, quote, injection of capital this offseason. I'm very interested to see what that means in practice. Says there will be an addition on every line. TBD, Kendall McIntosh, I believe a backup goalkeeper to the Red Bulls. Reentry stage two is Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern. See what happens there. Drew Moore, maybe the best free agent signing in the history of this league for Toronto FC, has signed with the Rapids. So Porik Smith talked about a veteran, a move coming in, so it's not all young bucks. Well, that's Drew Moore. He signed with the Rapids. Fafa Picot, traded by the Union to FC Dallas for about $300K in GAM. Ernst Tanner, realizing assets, realizing value, not afraid to do so. And then Dom Baji, whoop, out from FC Dallas to Nashville for about $325 in allocation money. And we're fortunate to have the two biggest Dom Baji stands in the world here at this Extra Time table. How do you feel? Dom Baji going to Nashville. Eric Miller going to Nashville. They really love MLS experience. They are all about it. That's like the only thing that's mattering right now to them, maybe other than like up-and-coming Central Americans.
Mm. I mean, it's fine. Dom let me down this past year. I made him a guarantee.
Wow, make this personal. Make it about you.
Good business from Dallas, though, because if you look at it, they basically flipped Baggio and got Picot with that money.
And it cost them $50,000 of...
Yeah, just freshened it up.
Yeah. Wait, no, they made $50,000.
Yeah, they made
$50,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good stuff from Dallas. We'll see what happens. Kamar Lawrence says he wants a trade. That's per Ivis Glarsep. Not happy with his current contract. You would assume he makes just under $400K. Is he a TAM player? It's the same question we're asking about Julian Gressel right now. Is Kamar Lawrence a TAM player in Major League Soccer right now? Should someone go give him
When he's healthy and available, he's the best left back in the league. It's always an open question of whether or not he's going to be healthy and available. But if you're him, you certainly have the right to look at what other top fullbacks are paid in MLS and say, give me that.
Yeah, you don't have to look far, right? Just looks down the line on his team, which is part of the problem, right? It's like, that's why it's so hard to keep these groups together, because you get a back line, they build it together, and one guy gets paid, the next guy gets paid, then the next guy gets paid, and it's like, well, where's my money?
Yeah, you're like, ah, dang, I'm on the wrong side of this. Like, the timing didn't work out for me. The other guys got their money after Supporters Shield winning season.
Interesting to note, the best Red Bulls youth prospect is a left back, John Tolkien. He's 17 years old. Probably not ready yet, but it wouldn't shock me if they end up moving Kamar Lawrence, they sign Tolkien to a first-team contract, and he gets a few hundred minutes next year.
Look at that. More of the youth player advancement storyline. Ligia, anybody watching that? Anybody? Anybody wildly entertained by that? Because I definitely am. And Dorlan Pabon is my new spirit animal. Oh, my God. He is amazing. And it's all upsets. All four lower seeds advance. But this is also the insanity of Liga MX, because Monterrey was, and Club America were one of the lower seeds.
Yeah. But Monterrey had a really weird season.
It's
but
very
they
easy
so
to have
much
rough
talent.
Seasons in the regular season.
Not even,
we see Tigres do it, too. They, like, turn it on at the very end, make it in the top eight, and then make a run.
Is this
so,
the end for Tuca and APG, you think?
Look.
I mean, I saw some talk about that last night. Like, that would be
Chicago
end
Fire
of an era.
Call Tuca.
Yeah, hey.
What? Did I say that? Yeah. So, Necaxa, Monterrey, Club America, Morelia, moving on, Monarcas.
We got a good taste of, like, former MLSers in the Liga. Fernando Aristeguieta was for Monarcas. Octavio Rivero played. Who did he come in for last night? Is he León? Who else? Fabian Castillo got a few minutes in Querétaro. And by the way, Nashville SC still have that number one allocation spot, and Fabian Castillo's out of contract in 6 months.
Ooh.
They should get that done. There were a couple other, I don't want to say deep cut, but like recent throwback under the radar MLS guys running around in the Liga.
You're a big Liga guy? Big Liga Max?
Oh, Gio Dos Santos.
Yeah, Gio Dos Santos. Yeah, just some guy named Gio Dos Santos. Yeah.
Deep cut.
I watch more of the Premier League.
Interesting. Yeah. But you haven't Leagues Cup, Campeones Cup, the All-Star Game, Hermanos, these two leagues, that hasn't pulled you in at all. The fact that you have to talk about CCL, we force you to do it, hasn't.
I would say it's opening up for me.
It's an emerging market.
It is. It's opening up for me, but I still would say I watch more of the Premier League. Mm. I'm going actually over to Arsenal Man City.
Yeah, but you know, it's like a mid-table team against another one that can't win the championship. Like, what are they even playing for?
Yeah,
the season's pretty much over, isn't it?
First time at the Emirates. I'm excited.
All right.
Anyways, you asked me the question. I'm just being honest with you.
I appreciate that. Your honesty is always
thank you.
You know, one of the hallmarks of the show.
Ben Bear is going to be
That was basically
destroyed.
A Ben Bear troll. That entire it was both the truth, but it was also a bit just to dig into Ben Bear. But you know, Liga MX is looking at MLS saying, "Boy, this could be a market for our players." Alan Pulido, you've probably heard the rumors about this one, leaving Chivas, and Chivas put out a press release. They said, "Yeah, we wish him the best. We'll figure out what the solution is."
Won the Golden Boot this season.
Yeah, 12 goals, I believe. Yep. His quote was, "Most likely I'll go to MLS. There are some important teams that are interested in me. San Jose, Matias Almeida, they have experience together with Chivas. Sporting KC, this is where that capital injection comes in, potentially. Orlando City, Chicago Fire, maybe, all linked. Alan Pulido, a good signing. In MLS?
Yes.
For how much, though? $10 million is sort of the rumor right now. That feels high. Feels like a lot. He's 28 years old.
Mm.
He's already said he's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Chivas acknowledged he's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't it be harder to get money when you do that?
Yeah, it's a good point. I'm not in the room for these negotiations. I don't know. I do expect to see him in MLS.
Where would you put him?
San Jose.
San Jose?
I would love to see him in San Jose.
Just get the gang back together?
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that they would know each other, I think, would help with his transition as well. If they could get him in this window, I mean, that would be huge. That would be huge for San Jose. And it would show just the fact that, okay, yes, Matias Almeida came through and changed that whole franchise, essentially. But that now he could actually, we said, okay, he did it with all the same players. But he hasn't really had much of a window to be able to go out and bring in some of his own players or really spend, too. It would show San Jose is not just saying, oh, well, we got around the playoffs and that was close enough and that was good, but that Matias is staying and a part of this project for the long term. It would do a lot, I think, to keep him there as well, too.
And maybe that's the carrot that got dangled. Because remember, there were all the rumors.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk about Almeida leaving. And he talked about last year, hey, I'd like to spend more money. I'd like to have more of a budget. I'd like to have these players. Maybe this is part of the carrot to say, hey.
Stick around.
Yeah, hey, we got you. We got your guy. Pulido is coming. There's also rumors with LAFC. We've seen them spend a lot of money. We talked about the profile they go after. I mean, J.J. Macias linked with LAFC, that's incredible.
That would make a ton of sense.
That's like one of the best attacking players in Liga MX.
Yeah.
He's top five.
20-year-old center forward, ton of talent. And he's not just a center forward. He does a little bit of everything. He plays, I guess, similar to how Tate Castellanos played it for NYCFC this year. And I think he would be at least that effective, especially on a front line with Rodriguez and Vela. It makes a ton of sense. Makes more sense for them than the Brian Lozano rumors.
Yep.
I mean, if you watched Santos play, you know that Lozano had an absolute banger against Monterrey. Was that last night or was that 2 nights ago? That was last night. Lozano's another Uruguayan winger. So unless LAFC's plan is to just like completely corner the market on Uruguayan wingers.
It seems like they've cornered the market on Penarol.
yeah,
up and coming prospects. Like, hey, look, we're the middleman.
But if they move Rossi, right?
Yeah. Then you have Rodriguez, then you have, you know,
I don't think so. I think if you do that, then you have your three DP slots spent on three wingers, which means one of them is playing out of position. That doesn't make a ton of sense to me, because Rossi, you need to play him 2,500 minutes because the idea is to sell him for $15 million at some point. And Carlos Vela, you want to play him on the right wing because he's, when he does that, he's literally the best player in MLS history. So I think Macias makes a lot more sense. Lozano would make a lot of sense for Seattle. If you look at what Seattle have done this offseason in terms of their roster and in terms of what they need to compete in CCL, getting a 25-year-old Uruguayan international who can play either wing, just as Jordan Morris can, and putting that front four of Reed Diaz, Ladero, and then those two guys, that would make a lot of sense to me.
9 goals, 7 assists in the Apertura. He has 80-plus games in Liga MX. I mean, those are the sort of signings, we'll get to this in the mailbag, that help you compete in CCL. Been there, done that, know these players, know this pressure, know this style of play. Minnesota linked with the striker. Frank O'Hara, he's been with Pachuca. He's 31 years old, Argentine, maybe, maybe not. Javier Hernandez, Chicharito, saying, yes, I've definitely thought about coming to MLS. I mean, I've definitely thought about a lot of things that could make me millions of dollars, but, you know, who knows if those things are going to happen. Who is Chicharito actually a fit for now, though? It's been like 5 years. Every single year, it's the same thing. He says the same things. Oh, yeah, I would entertain it. I mean, like, anybody would entertain another bargaining chip.
I mean, like,
Sevilla just paid $8.5 for him.
Where is he not a fit for?
Yeah, he would be a fit for almost. Like, you could put it from LAFC, the Galaxy, Chicago, Sporting Kansas City,
Houston.
I mean, yeah.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, he would be amazing for Houston. I mean, right, playing in that market, big signing. That would
sell Minotas.
Yeah.
And put some of that towards Chicharito.
Is there any concern? I'm just going to play devil's advocate with Chicharito. He's 31. He's played in 10 matches this year for Sevilla, who are doing very well in Liga. I love Liga. They're second, I think. He scored only 3 goals.
They're third.
They're third? Yeah. Whatever. They're near the top. They're having a good season.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping that they win.
If Chicharito wants $8.5 million and you have to pay a transfer fee to Sevilla, is he going to be closer to Carlos Vela or closer to Giovanni Dos Santos?
Vela.
He'll be closer to Vela. I think Chicharito would be a 25-30 goal scorer in this league if you put the right, just a couple of pretty good players around him. And I think just looking at it makes so much sense for the Fire. They need to get 30,000, 40,000 people into Soldier Field. They need to recreate that buzz. There's a huge Mexican-American population in Chicago. There's a huge population of soccer fans in Chicago. And if you put a player like Chicharito there and maybe a couple other good, like, younger DPs, I think that could do for Chicago, for the Fire, what the Vela signing and the Rossi signing did for LAFC 2 years.
Or just what the Blanco signing did for Chicago. I mean, that was a pretty similar parallel as far as profile of a Mexican star coming to that market and what it meant to it. It was insane.
The stories you haven't told, I can only imagine.
Yeah, but imagine that downtown. That would be a game changer. I don't even care who else you signed. If you went out and got him, you need a good manager as well.
Get Chicharito and then get Diego Lainez on loan.
That would be, yeah. And let's start with one. Any of them.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get a GM, sporting director first, head coach maybe. Definitely get these.
But I don't see this happening. This happens literally. I can't believe we're even falling for this.
It's Groundhog Day.
This happens every year. We talk about Chicharito coming, and it never happens. I would be surprised if he doesn't play in MLS at some point. It's just a matter of, and that's why these rumors keep coming up. But I don't see it happening.
I just wonder as the years go on and he gets older and maybe his role with Mexico and with whatever club team he's on diminishes and his salary asks are at a certain point, where do those start to not match as well as they might have in the past? Because it's easy to look at a 28-year-old Chicharito who's like at Man U killing it and say $8.5 million a year, let us give you 11. Mm-hmm. You know, but like one in this stage of his career, it becomes more of a dance of a negotiation, because Carlos Vela was still like
he's such an outlier, though.
He was A+, A1 on his club team. He was not playing for Mexico because he didn't want to play for Mexico, and when he did in the World Cup, he was arguably the best player on the field. he was younger than this. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody wants to replicate that one, but it might not be possible. Yeah. Just some thoughts coming from me. By the way, here's the mail. This was from somebody on the border of Pennsylvania and New York, Kalen. Cannot overemphasize.
Was it Joe and Alex?
Might have been. Cannot overemphasize enough how right Kalen is about Pogba. Ask soccer fans in the U.S. about their non-soccer fan friends. Everybody knows Pogba, so just wanted to pump you up a little bit there, because I know you got off a plane at 3 a.m., and you've been sick, you didn't get Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, what's his name, Joe?
No, we don't know his name.
Oh.
But it could be Joe.
You guys take anonymous mailbag people?
Well, people text us and don't give us their names, which is frustrating, but it's just the state of it. Yeah.
That means less now.
We did have a bunch of questions about CCL. Which team is best equipped to make a run? LAFC, Seattle Sounders, NYCFC, Atlanta United, or Montreal? Which team is best equipped? Which team is going to be the most interesting in CCL, and why is it the Montreal Impact and Thierry Henry?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching Thierry Henry.
This happened
managing
just for
the Leeds.
Yeah, he did. Can we get him footage of Frank Klopas?
Why don't we put this question to you, because you have terminal CCL fever.
I do have terminal CCL fever.
Who do you think is the most interesting fit of these teams, or the most interesting one to watch?
Well, NYCFC is in a tough spot because they don't have a head coach, but I don't think it matters as much as maybe...
They have more depth than any of these.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As we say, it matters.
Yeah.
Atlanta is obviously interesting because the weight of expectations, because Petey Martinez did it in CONMEBOL, he did it in Libertadores. Can he do it in this one? Can he be a shining light? Joseph Martinez is going to kick and punch and tear down people.
How that team did Campeones Cup, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a nice showing against...
You know what they can do.
...America, but they didn't really do that in their first run through in CCL. I think the most interesting is obviously LAFC, because I think Carlos Vela against... Look, it's MLS versus Liga MX. We know that's the way it works now. Carlos Vela against Liga MX, trying to bring LAFC to be the first team to do that. And after they had the disappointment of not being the best ever team, or whatever it was, not winning MLS Cup, it's this next horizon.
If they win this thing, then they're the best.
Yeah, Bob wants
team.
To be. Bob yeah. wants to be. So he wants
so,
to go down in history.
All right, so
man.
You're Bob, and I'm Will Ferrell, and I'm saying, here's your big fat check to sign a DP. Who are you signing?
Probably. I mean, look, if I can get Macias, I sign Macias, because I do everything under the sun. I both get a productive player, not just productive, but potentially one of the best players in the region, if not the best, maybe the best young prospect.
Mm-hmm.
I can sell him on, so my system, my, you know, kind of idea of how my club
the
will be run.
Flow,
how my club will be run is confirmed, and I have more proof and yet another example probably of a guy who would go to Europe and do pretty well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to maybe make history in CCL, and I get to thumb my nose at Liga MX and say, I got your best young prospect, and we're about to win this thing for the first time. The tides are changing.
Okay.
I'm Bob Bradley.
All right.
Let's go. I think they're really interesting, and I think Thierry Henry is just fascinating, man. To have that be his first introduction as a head coach in this league, Montreal Impact, who have a history in this competition of success. You know, before they even got to MLS, I believe they went to the semis. Eddie Sabrango, what up?
I watched an 8-minute video of Thierry Henry in French. I didn't understand any of it. Just wandering around the training complex in the snow.
See, this is the aesthetic we need.
Yep.
And by the way, let's play those games at Stade Saputo. Let's bring... it won't happen. Yeah. It'll be awesome, though. 55K is Stade Olympique. I've been there for those games. It's amazing. I mean, they went to the final. I think all these teams will take it more seriously as a group than we've ever seen in the past. The Sounders are already talking about it. NYCFC, yeah, they don't have a head coach, but their roster is built to compete on this level in conjunction with MLS. Atlanta United, we know they want it, too. It's going to be beautiful. I can't wait. Last one here, Vin in Long Island. This is for you probably, Doyle. Can you guys give us some insight on who top college draft prospects are this year? DK,
yeah.
He says, is up there. Maybe the first pick. What are some other names we should know? You don't have to go too deep.
Yeah, Daryl DK and Jack Maher. DK is a big center forward from University of Virginia who's not super high scoring. I think he has like 8 goals, 8 assists, but he's also drawn like 5 penalties this year. He's 6'3", 225 pounds, built like a linebacker, but has soft feet, good vision, combines them around the box really, really well, and good soccer blood. His brother, Bright, played in MLS for a while, played for the Nigerian national team as well. I think he'll go number one. He won't fall below number two. If they can sign him to a Generation Adidas contract. The other one who I think a lot of people have their eyes on, center back from Indiana, Jack Maher, just like another one in that line of guys who have, you know, Chad Marshall, Omar Gonzalez, thought of as that type of center back. who can anchor an MLS defense for a good long while. Kip Keller, another freshman who, or a freshman rather, who's maybe ends up being that type of center back as well. Joe Bell, central midfielder from University of Virginia, a New Zealand international. So he would require an international slot, but he's a really good technical central midfielder who is already a full international. Philip Mayaka, maybe my favorite player in college soccer. He's a central midfielder from Clemson. He reminds me of Dax McCarty, and he's just really good. He's Kenyan, so he'd require an international slot as well. Those are probably the five I'm most interested in. But there are, nobody pegged Minnesota United as having one of the great drafts of all time last year, but they did with Chase Gasper and Hassani Dotson. And so there's always talent to be found. It's a question of how you use it and how you develop it.
Absolutely. We'll see homegrown signings as well for these teams that are out there.
Let me just say, Mauricio Pineda, you mentioned him before.
He was number one on Travis Clark's list of potential homegrown signings, and he's a Fire guy.
Yeah, if the Fire don't sign him, which is a distinct possibility, and he goes into the draft, he might go number one. And honestly, I would have taken him as a top five pick any time in these last 4 or 5 years. He's just a super smart, very physical center back slash D-mid. I think he ends up projecting as a center back in MLS. I love watching him play.
You've probably also heard the rumors out there that the Super Draft won't be like Super Drafts past. I have nothing to add or that I know on that other than I don't know. So we'll see how that shakes out. But it will happen, just in what form, TBD.
They don't let you in the room for those types?
Nah. You know, they know I go on a show twice a week and just kind of talk out of my... You know, whatever's on my mind, I just say it. So that's it for us. Thanks for joining us.
Oh,
I know you got it at 3 a.m. Hit you up.
Nothing. I'm up to 3 a.m. working on a movement every night anyway. So
do you have anything movement? Is
content
that,
never sleeps,
was that
man.
Sort of the beginnings of a promotion before out of here?
No, I mean, it's all four seasons are streaming at all times.
Perfect. On YouTube, anytime you want to get them. On
There's demand. A finale coming at some point this
year.
Okay.
Well, we'll look forward to that one. All right, that's it for us. We will see you on Thursday, everybody. Hit us up in the mailbag, extratime@mlssoccer.com, 401-206-0MLS. Please include your name. That would be nice. We don't have a bunch of anonymous people just praising Kalen. It could have been Kalen. He could have just bust that up.
Have
burner.
The courage to attach your name to it.
Exactly.
Come on.
We'll see you then.